Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network,
available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell Podcast on the iHeartRadio app. We're on from 1 until 4, then after 4 o'clock, John Cobell Show on Demand. The podcast version on the iHeart app. And we got two runs on the Moist Line coming up. First round in about 15 minutes at 3:20 or so. And now we're going to talk with Nathan Hochman again. He ended up second place. He did the best out of all the woes. I'm like, 11 challengers to George Gascon in the primary on March the 5th for L.A. County District Attorney. So he is now going to take on Gascon one-on-one in November. And he got the endorsement of nearly all of Gascon's prosecutors, all of his employees, the Association of Deputy District Attorneys. That's their organization, and they formally endorsed Nathan Hochman. And let's get Nathan on the line, talk about it and other things. Nathan, welcome.
Hi, John. Nice to be on again.
Yeah, so let's talk about this is a major endorsement because these are the men and women who have to work under Gascon, and it's been going on for over 3 years, and I know most of them are really fed up and sick of the situation. Talk about the endorsement and what it means.
This is a huge endorsement, John. The Association of Deputy District Attorneys represents the almost 800 deputy district attorneys. These are the line prosecutors who go into court every single day representing the DA's office. And they basically have turned on their boss. As we know, almost 98% of them supported the recall against George Gascon, which is a shocking statistic. And now they've actually endorsed me in this way race. And I mean, how surprising is it that George Gascon has had over 3 years to convince these people that he is their leader, that his policies make sense. And instead of backing him, they've done just the opposite. They back myself as the challenger who's going to unify them and the rest of Los Angeles County in getting George Gascon out of office.
Do you worry about just voting patterns in Los Angeles? Because you know the people actually elected him. You know, 3.5 years ago against Jackie Lacey, who was a good district attorney. I can't remember her having any problems up until, you know, Black Lives Matter started chasing her around and showing up at her house every day, and terrorizing her and her husband. But before that, I didn't find her to be particularly controversial, and I thought she was really effective. And I was really surprised that she was voted out of office. Does that make you wonder, you know, about the voting base out there?
Well, I never take anything for granted, John, but I think 2020 was a highly unusual situation, because you're absolutely right. Jackie Lacey, a Democrat, the first black female district attorney we've ever had, she got hit by an unusual set of circumstances, starting with the George Floyd incident, then riots and protests in the streets, and the defund the police movement, then the mayor of Los Angeles at the time, Eric Garcetti, switching his endorsement at the last moment from Jackie to George Gascon, other politicians joining him in that effort. And again, and then having the George Soros sort of progressive far left money, millions and millions of dollars that came in that made an otherwise dead heat race into a 6-point Gascon victory. We're not going to have that this time. Now George Gascon has to not run on promises, but a record that has failed the public. The violent crimes have gone up each single year in which he's been in office. Property crimes have skyrocketed. Shoplifting is up 81%. The mayor of Los Angeles, Karen Bass, won't even have George Gascon at her press conference. And most recently, the U.S. attorney announces a Project Safe Cities, Operation Safe Cities, and doesn't even have George Gascon there with him at that press conference. So I don't see the tsunami of the unusual events that we saw in 2020 playing forward in 2024's election.
What are Gascon's biggest weaknesses that you're going to campaign against? What's the message that you want to get to people more than anything else about Gascon's performance? Because a lot of people don't pay attention to the stuff that we do.
That's true. But I think what people pay attention to is whether or not they're safer today than when they were when Gascon took office in 2020. Over two-thirds of the people polled have actually said they feel less safe today than several years ago. I think what they're seeing on the street, whether it's homelessness and violent crime, smash-and-grab robberies, fentanyl poisoning going to kill more 18 to 35-year-olds than anything else in Los Angeles County, and the failure, the repeated failure of George Gascon to address these issues. Again, people are looking out their front door, and they're worried for themselves, their own, their children's safety, their parents' safety, and that will cut across political lines because, as it's been said on your show before, criminals don't ask for your party affiliation before they rob you, and neither do I see voters asking for the party affiliation of the candidate when they're determining which candidate is going to keep them safe. Someone like myself with 34 years of criminal justice experience on both sides of the aisle, or someone like George Gascon, who has literally zero experience as a prosecutor, even a defense attorney.
You know, talk about your prosecutorial experience, because, again, most people will be paying a lot more attention to a November election than a March election. So I know you've gone through this, obviously, many times. Probably every speech you give, you talk about your background. But it's really important, because Gascon never prosecuted a single case in his life, and he still hasn't. But you have a ton of experience in that regard. So just give us a quick run through.
Certainly. So after I graduated Stanford Law School and clerked for a federal judge, I went right into the U.S. Attorney's Office. And as a federal prosecutor for 7 years, I prosecuted over 100 different cases, everything from narcotics traffickers and violent gang members to international money launderers, corrupt politicians, and actually dirty cops, as well as running the Environmental Crimes Unit and going after air, sea, and land polluters. 10 years after that, I got a presidential nomination, a unanimous Senate confirmation to be the U.S. Assistant Attorney General running the Department of Justice's Tax Division out of Washington, D.C. I was in charge of a $100 million budget, 350 lawyers doing civil, criminal, and appellate tax cases across the nation. And then on the defense side, I've had 20 years of experience on the criminal defense side, basically upholding people's constitutional rights against government overreach. So I have a very unique perspective. In fact, I'd be one of the few, if not the only, DA who's ever had prosecutorial and defense experience at the time they took office, and I have 34 years of it.
We were talking about you getting the endorsement of the Association of Deputy District Attorneys, all the prosecutors that work for Gascon, basically. And why do they want you so bad? What is life like for them under Gascon? And how do they think it's going to be different under you? How are you going to make it different?
Well, I've talked to a whole lot of these deputy district attorneys across the entire county. And what they saw from literally the first hour that George Gascon was in place, he never met with them, by the way. He just, and though he has no experience and they have collectively over thousands of years of prosecutorial experience, he said he knew how to do their job better than them. That's how I will differ from George Gascon, because his initial special directives effectively put the handcuffs on his prosecutors instead of on the defendants. I have already told these people how I will manage them, which is to learn from them, to work with them, to find out the best practices and scale them up, and find out what's not working, take their suggestions into account, take law enforcement's suggestions into account, and use the best practices to go after the criminals and hold them accountable. That will be a breath of fresh air compared to Gascon, who's basically ruled from up above, brought in deputy public defenders and in the key administration positions in the DA's office. I will reject that. I will bring and elevate people within the office who have 20, 30, 35 years of experience and put them in the key positions, because they've been walking the walk for decades, unlike the people George Gascon has brought in from literally the other side, who have actually damaged the morale and corrupted the credibility of that office.
I can't tell you how many victims or families of victims that we've had on the air over the last 3.5 years who've just had terrible stories about the way they were treated by Gascon. You know, starting with you want to challenge a parole hearing, right, to keep a criminal behind bars. And there's no help from Gascon's office, from the prosecutorial staff. When you go to the hearing, you're on your own. I mean, talk about the changes you're going to make there.
That's a change, John, I can make from day one. Gascon rejected a policy that had been up for decades, where when victim families confront, for instance, their murderer at a parole hearing where he is seeking to get out of jail early, they have been traditionally accompanied by the prosecutor. And the reason that's important, not just for the emotional support that a prosecutor can lend, the prosecutor has access to the packet that the parole board sees that the victims do not see, and can weigh in on all the various factors on why this person was in jail in the first place, and whether or not they have truly shown mitigation and they've truly shown acceptance of responsibility. Right now, without the prosecutor there, that is an unchallenged fact that the victim family can't even really weigh in on. So I can change that policy immediately. And also resentencings, John. You might have heard that many of these life with possibility of parole cases have come back to the DA's office. And very often the DA's office is not even consulting with the victim families before they cut deals with these defendants who are trying to seek to lower their sentence through a resentencing. I would, again, bring back the victim families into the process, work with them, and oppose situations for which the law and the facts do not justify a lower sentence for anyone.
All right, Nathan, thank you for coming on with us. And I want to have you come on regularly between now and November so that people understand what's at stake and how dramatically you're different from George Gascon. It's not the same universe. All right, Nathan Hochman there. And he's running against Gascon for district attorney come November. And he got the endorsement from the Association of Deputy District Attorneys. Those are the prosecutors. Those are Gascon's employees there. And they do the day-to-day prosecuting, and virtually all of them want Gascon gone. And they're for Nathan Hochman to take his place. We got Moistline coming up.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the radio from 1 until 4. Then after 4 o'clock, John Cobalt's show on demand. And that's the podcast version, so you can listen to what you missed. And if you're just tuning in, you just missed Nathan Hochman, who's going to be the only candidate running against George Gascon in November in the general election. So if you'd like, that'd be a good thing to look for. Also, we had another interview earlier with Dave Packer from ABC News. This is my story. I'm fascinated by. Donald Trump probably made $3 billion today. And it's up in the air whether he could use any of it to satisfy that bond that he needs for that civil case. But there's this shell company which merged with his Truth Social company. Now, Truth Social doesn't have many followers, nor does it have much in revenue. But somehow, and this other company, it's called Digital World Acquisition Company. It merged, and they don't make anything. They're not a real company. I mean, they have no goods, no services, no nothing. They merge, and something magical happens. Trump ends up with 60% ownership and $3 billion in stock on paper. $3 billion. And apparently Trump's followers are going to be buying it and selling it back and forth and driving up the stock price so he's worth even more. I just find that utterly amazing. But at least Truth Social is something. But it's not a money-making operation. I don't know. I don't understand. The world is rigged. There's no question about it. Right. We are going to do the Moist line now. 877-MOIST-86. 877-MOIST-86. We do this every Friday. Let's go. Round one.
Hey, it's John. Thanks for calling the Moist line. I'm so excited to hear from you. It's about time.
The planes are falling out of the sky and the door plugs are popping off and the trains are costing us $100 billion. You know what? I think I'll take my car.
You know, over the last 2 years, all this rain and all this snow, no talk about drought over the last 2 years.
This Boeing thing where they construct the plane. How many buildings in L.A. are built to the same standards that when the earthquake hits, they're just going to fall down? You know these developers that are paying off the city council, they're not building this code. Jesus Christ, it's going to be great.
You know, John, I just want to vent a little bit and tell everybody how disgusted and angry I am and how the morons in L.A. County that voted for Gaston again, you people are despicable. You have no clue, and you better get ready because it's about to go down. We got this motherfucker in here who cares more about criminals than he does about average law-abiding citizens. It's despicable. You people are ridiculous.
I served 30 years in the United States Air Force. Prop 1 is an absolute joke. For Gavin Newsom to say it's for veterans, you know how many resources that are out there if there are true veterans that need help today? They're everywhere.
California, wake up. You guys just keep voting yourself into the poorhouse.
Have you heard the ads for the new California program to insure your car at a lower cost? You gotta be shitting me. Insure your car with the morons who run this state? Give me a break.
This makes all the sense in the world to me. If the federal government is going to make a law and then refuse to enforce a law, the states have no choice. Otherwise, the federal government can make laws on whatever they want with the absolute intention of never enforcing them and locking the hands of the states from protecting themselves. That makes no sense. The Supreme Court decision, I don't always agree with them, but in this case, I think it makes absolute sense.
John, what's wrong with you drinking that V and from Deborah Mark? Are you trying to poison yourself or what? Come on, stick with the burgers and shakes. You don't need that, can you? Good Lord have mercy. Don't do that anymore.
I'm all for bashing LA County for voting yes, but I mean, at least they're in the 50s. Did you happen to look at San Francisco County, John? It's 73%. The epicenter of this homelessness epidemic, the surrounding counties around the bay are in the 60s. Who are these people? They are insane, and we are all screwed.
John, you're absolutely right. The thin water bottles are the worst. It's not just you. Water goes everywhere when you try to open it. Good luck with a sticky Coke.
I used to drink a lot of kombucha, and I too stopped drinking it because it's expensive. I actually think it tastes delicious, but my daughter had the same reaction to the kombucha when she tried it, and she calls it sparkly barf.
Deborah said she doesn't sleep well. The reason is obvious. She doesn't eat well.
You know, we really can control our destiny if we get rid of these liberal Democrats, just vote them out on every level of every office of every state. They'll be gone. We'll get a conservative Supreme Court, and this country can be us again.
Okay, so the additional exemptions for the $20 per hour minimum wage don't make a
bit of sense. If you have a fast food restaurant located in an airport, you are exempt from paying $20 per hour. Have you seen the price of goods in an airport? They triple in price, yet they don't have to pay their employees a higher wage rate. That makes absolutely no sense.
John, kombucha rids your body of toxins. When you drank that thing, it was just cutting away the grease from your esophagus.
I don't understand how an appeals court can overrule the Supreme Court. I understand that they were just lifting it so it could be acted on until it's decided on later, but an appeals court overrules the Supreme Court? Man, they just keep going until they get their way, don't they?
Oh my God, John, how dare you? I am so disappointed. I'm hurt. My heart is hurting. How dare you eat or drink something healthy?
Are you kidding me? Like, we didn't know that there were assassins in the United States. We've known that since Biden entered the office. And what they'll do is they create this problem and they ride in on that white horse and then they take credit for solving it, which is never a solution. They're so stupid.
Thank you for leaving your message. Please hang up. Goodbye.
We'll never drink kombucha again.
Okay,
that was one of the worst tasting moments of my
life. Okay, here's the deal.
What?
Erin, who works in the KFI newsroom, she's an editor, she brought me kombucha today, a different brand, a different flavor. It was delicious. I am hooked, and I'm going to go buy more this weekend. No. So I think it depends on the flavor and perhaps the brand. And it gave me a little boost because it does have some caffeine in it because it is made with tea leaves. And it's good for your digestion, as I told you numerous times the other day. It's good for your gut, has a lot of probiotics. I am hooked on this stuff now.
I don't understand when people carry on about it gets rid of your toxins.
Yeah.
My liver gets rid of my toxins.
Well, but
we already have a set of organs to filter out the toxins.
I know.
That's all a scam.
I don't necessarily think that it's a scam, but I choose to believe that it's very healthy for your body. I feel healthier after I drink it. And by the way, to that guy who says, yeah, I don't sleep well because I don't eat well, bologna.
No.
I eat
you don't
very
eat bologna.
Well. That's true. I don't eat bologna. Good one, Eric. But I eat very well. But thank you for your concern. But I eat a lot of fruits and vegetables, and I have a lot of lentils and garbanzo beans for protein and almonds. I do eat very well. I honestly do.
Yeah. Well, you still don't sleep.
But that's another matter. That has nothing to do with me
nuts,
being
that's
vegan.
Why.
Well, maybe that could be the reason.
All right.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're
a
figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
the
podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Conway coming up after 4 o'clock, and we got another round of the Moist Line ahead of us as well. So there is a another twist in the story involving Shohei Ohtani and his former interpreter, Ipe Mizuhara. Los Angeles Times is reporting that Major League Baseball is now officially investigating Ohtani and Mizuhara over the gambling story. There's various writers and analysts who are looking at this. And remember, the key here is that Ohtani's people put out two separate stories. They sent Mizuhara to go on ESPN for a 90-minute interview, and Mizuhara said, yeah, I ran up huge gambling debts, and my good friend Shohei Ohtani basically bailed me out. $4.5 million, which is straightforward, clean story, quite plausible. And it doesn't, obviously, this doesn't make Shohei Ohtani a bad guy, except apparently what everyone realized right before that story was going to be published in print is that if Ohtani did that, that's illegal. And maybe it doesn't sound like it's illegal, but if you send money to a bookie from your account to cover your friend's bets and the bets themselves are illegal, you sending money is facilitating a bookie operation. It may be not your intention. You may be trying to do a good deal for a friend, but actually it is breaking federal law. And the investigation was centering on the bookie, Matthew Bauer in Orange County. I think he's in San Juan Capistrano. So that's where the tripwire went off. So Major League Baseball has announced that they're going to be looking into it because the original story is, okay, Ohtani's bailing out his friend. And then when they realized how that implicated Ohtani, it became, okay, Mizuhara engaged in a massive theft. And for moment one, that didn't make any sense. There is a writer for New York Magazine, Ross Barkin, and he put a list of questions here, and we went through this yesterday, and these are the questions. This is the nub of the case. He says, Ohtani's theft claim on its face makes no sense. Number one, how did Ohtani not know his interpreter was wiring $1 million from his own bank account? Two 500,000 wires. And according to Trista Thompson, the ESPN reporter who broke the case, she saw two, but there's evidence that there's 8 or 9 of these, probably in $500,000 increments. 9 times 500,000, you get to the $4.5 million. How did Ohtani's bank not alert him? They have to, because maybe you can wire a small amount of money, but if you're wiring $500,000 times 9, and you're not personally doing it, the bank's going to call you. You have to give approval somehow. It's impossible to believe. They're not going to trust Mizuhara, even if they were so close that Mizuhara had access to Ohtani's bank accounts. Maybe he'd withdraw money on Ohtani's behalf or pay bills on Ohtani's behalf because he acted as an all-purpose assistant. But it's not the act of sending a wire, which you have to jump through a few hoops. It's that the amount was so high and it was a repeated amount, 500,000, then another 500,000. That is the stuff. Because banks have all kinds of security and fraud regulations. They're on the lookout for money laundering all the time, especially involving wealthy people, especially in cities like Los Angeles. There is so much drug running that's going on, and human smuggling, and cryptocurrency crimes. And cryptocurrency exists primarily to allow criminals to launder money and ship money without a trace. So they're hypersensitive to it. In fact, Ross Barkin writes, banking institutions have aggressive compliance procedures in place to ensure very large sums of cash are not wired without the consent of the account holders. And that has to be Otani. And Barkin writes, it is difficult to imagine Otani himself didn't sign off on the transfer in some form. And again, that was the original story until they all realized, uh-oh, that breaks federal law. You are now aiding in an illegal gambling operation just by paying off your friend's debts. And again, not saying Otani's a bad guy or he intended to do anything bad or illegal. This is not a Pete Rose situation, but it does violate the law. Now, I don't know how, if they enforce that law, if they charge that law when somebody does it unwittingly like that, but that's the reason everybody is shut down. That's the reason you're not seeing Otani in a press conference or anybody in Major League Baseball. And by the way, all this stuff went on when he was with the Angels. The Dodgers are kind of tangential to this because Trista Thompson from ESPN said she saw a couple of the wire transfer documents, and they date back to last September and October when he was still a member of the Angels. So they're going to have to do an investigation, and they're going to have to see how deeply Otani was involved. And it may be just on the surface. It may be, yeah, because again, he's from Japan. He's not familiar with American laws. I'm sure he got the lecture like all ball players do. And the reason this is such a big deal, I know this sounds kind of weird in this day and age, you know, decades ago, gambling was practically like prostitution. It was considered socially unacceptable in society, and it was done underground, and you had bookies and number runners and the mob involved. But it's become mainstream in the modern world because of the internet. But it used to have a pretty strong taint to it. And the reason that baseball has been so anti-gambling, at least for its players, even long before Pete Rose, is the 1919 World Series, they suspect, was thrown by the Chicago White Sox. That the White Sox intentionally gave away the series because a number of their players were being bribed by gamblers. And what's death for any sport is if the fans believe the games are rigged. If the fans lose confidence that the athletic competition is honest, then the sport will die. And that terrifies baseball executives and the executives of all the sports. The one thing they can't abide by is the idea that guys are throwing games because they're gambling or other people are gambling and they have compromised the players in some way or threatened the players in some way. And the players feel compelled to alter the outcome. And that's why it's such a big deal. And that's why you're going to have an MLB investigation. And Otani could be in trouble, even if he had no intention of doing anything wrong other than helping his friend. Moistline is next.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Here's round two of the Moistline, 877-MOIST-86.
Hey, it's John. Thanks for calling the Moistline. I'm so excited to hear from you. It's about time.
Thank you, John. Thank you, because you are the only one that has the cojones to speak about this.
Well, I'm going to tell you guys, I don't know if you guys have been paying attention over at the port. There's no freight coming through, and homeless, they keep piling up. How's it possible that I know one is different than the other, but think about it. There's no work, and the homeless keeps piling up.
I have a theory on why they're letting so many people in at the borders, and they're not shutting them down. I think it's provoked. I think that in their pea brains, they feel like all these people coming in will go to the polls and vote for Biden in November.
It's ridiculous, the speed, reduction, technology, whatever. What if you're in an emergency situation and you are being chased by somebody? How are you going to outrun them? Ridiculous, I say. Fire that wiener.
People from other states aren't going to have limiters on their cars. Nevada, Arizona, Utah, whatever. They'll drive as fast as they want. And everybody in California will be limited to 10 miles an hour with the speed limit. This is the dumbest insanity I've ever heard. If the speed limiter bill passes, do we get to fire all the CHP and traffic cops too?
When you go to bed at night, just remember you cannot vote for these children anymore spending our money. They just enacted the fact that somebody else doesn't have to pay their debts again, and that's bogus.
You don't have to worry about this automatic 10-mile-an-hour speed limiter bill. You know why? Because that would devastate their revenue-generating speed tickets. It'll never happen.
I think what Scott Wiener is after is not the speed limiting, but speed monitoring. And if you go over the 10 miles an hour based on the GPS, they send you a ticket and they fine you. I think this is just another money grab.
Man, they took so long because they were figuring out a way how to rig the voting. Like always, it's rigged.
You know, all those activists that are out there saying, oh, the workers need to get more money, $20 an hour, and they're working at McDonald's and everywhere else. They don't even patronize the restaurants and the restaurant owners to help support that raise that they're all asking for.
I demand a recount of this Proposition 1 because whoever voted for this is just absolutely in a fog thinking that he's going to spend the money wisely and anything else is going to be changed.
So they want people to get out and ride bicycles, and they're going to put bike lanes all over the place now because of that bill that just got passed. You know, what they're not talking about is, are they going to put places to lock your bikes up with? Because one of the biggest problems we have is the homeless stealing bikes.
Can't believe we live and drive around all these people that voted for this $10 billion we're going to give this guy. You believe that?
Ethan is the name of Otani's oven mitt that he was using to cover his hand while he was making wagers. These were hot wagers, could have burned his hand, so Ipe volunteered to give his name, keep Otani's hand safe. Both stories are bull.
John, you're absolutely right. Whoever voted this bill in are idiots, and maybe they need the money that's passed to help the homeless with mental health. I think they need the mental health, so they probably voted it in so they could get their free mental health.
Thank you for leaving your message. Please hang up. Goodbye.
All right, that's the voice line. Conway's here. Hey now, Alex Michelson's coming on with us. We also have the Kate Middleton news. She has cancer. That's a really bad story. And over 440,000 Starbucks holiday mugs are recalled because of burn and cut hazards. You know, people freak out. They like to get their coffee mug from Starbucks for the holidays. Yeah. Are you one of those cats? I never go to Starbucks. No. I've never had a cup of coffee. You've never had a cup of coffee from Starbucks? Anywhere. I never have had. You've never had one cup of coffee in your life? No. Wow, man. You're an odd bird. I sipped it a couple of times and it was too hot. That's true.
I was going to volunteer because I have mornings off. I have nothing to do in the mornings. I was going to volunteer at a retirement home in Burbank. And because a buddy of mine does it and he says, you know, it helps a lot of people out. A lot of people listen to KFI. I'm like, okay. So I go it. I do the background search and I'm unaccepted. And they sent me a letter saying that they didn't accept me.
What did they find in your background?
They won't tell me. You know what I think it is?
What?
I think it's my OnlyFans page.
I don't want to know about that.
I don't think they're into it.
I don't want to think about
it. But that. I also don't want to give it up either.
So. Well, that could be good money. All right.
It's not bad.
Crozier's got the news. Conway's next.
Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
sound. Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.